From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 30th day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. It's Acreage Report Day. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, will join us in a few moments to talk about that acreage report and the carnage that took place in Chicago at the CME Group afterwards today. And then later in the program, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good, will join us. He had one word to describe the USDA reports today. It was wow. We'll hear that word and many more later from Daryl Good in this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this. In the soft red winter wheat pit, July contract at $5.11 and a quarter, settlement price down 17 and a quarter. September at 5.40 and three quarters, down 17, and December at 5.65 and three quarters, 17 and three quarters lower. July corn futures 29 and a quarter lower at $3.47 and three quarters. September at 3.54 and a half, down 30 cents. December down 30 at 3.67 and a quarter, and the March corn futures at 3.79 and a half, down 30. May futures 20.10 at 3.88 and a quarter, down 29 and three quarters. From the soybean pit nearby, July 11 and a quarter cent gain. It was the only gainer in the pit today at $12.26 and a quarter. Everything else at a loss, 11.19 and a quarter. The settlement price for the August beans down 2 and three quarters. September at $10.30, down 6. And November soybeans at $9.81, a settlement price down 2.5 cents. January futures 9.83, 3.5 lower. The March contract at 9.77.5, down 2 cents. July soybean meal futures 90 cents higher, $412.30 a ton, the final price. And July soybean oil at 35.02, up 76 cents. June live cattle futures 82.52.5, $2.10 higher. The August at 85.25, down 15 cents. August feeders at 102.82 and a half, up $1.10. The September futures at 101.80, up $1 even. July lean hog futures 65 cents higher at 58.67 and a half, and the August contract $2.02 and a half higher at $60.65. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July, or rather August, crude oil futures at $69.89, down $1.60. September at $70.84, $1.54 lower. July ethanol, $1.63 and a half, 5 and 8 tenths of a cent lower. August natural gas at $3.84 and 6 tenths. That's down 9 and 8 tenths. And the RBOB at $1.89 and 7 tenths. 3 and 8 tenths lower. July heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.71 and 8 tenths, down 6 and a half cents. And July propane futures, $0.01 and a half higher at 83 and 6 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $927.10 an ounce, down $13.30 in the Dow today. At 84.36 is down just about 92 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar trading 80.13 is up 0.29, and the CRB index on the afternoon at 249.98 is down 4.33 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own Dan Pounder. He says increasing cloudy tonight, everywhere, and cool. Lows will range from 53 in the northern parts of Illinois to 60 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. Light showers possible in the north. And then tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy skies, elsewhere partly sunny. Highs will range from 65 in northern Indiana to 85 in the southern parts of Illinois. Continued light showers possible in the north. The extended forecast says light precip possible in northern sections for tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, those cooler temperatures and lower humidity levels, compared to last week at least, can be expected until the weekend. The next chance of precip this weekend and expected to impact central and southern sections of the two-state region. That'll be coupled with a slight warming trend. Increase in precip chances throughout the region are expected throughout next week. More on the news and weather at the bottom of the hour.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
And before we get to the numbers on this Tuesday afternoon, while you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, I would like to remind you that this is listener-supported radio. About, I think, a third to 40% of the budget that operates the Closing Market Report in Illinois Public Media comes from you, the listeners, including listeners like John Shull, who is the president of the American Farmland Trust in Washington, D.C. John is a former lobbyist at Illinois Farm Bureau here, and then he went to US EPA. And each and every morning, he wrote to me this morning, he carries our podcast, The Closing Market Report, with him on the subway to his job at the American Farmland Trust, and listens to that report. And John, I'm proud to say, should be by now a brand new member of Illinois Public Media. That means he gave a financial contribution to us in studio with us to talk about why that financial contribution is important from John and others is Jay Pierce. Good afternoon to you, Jay. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to everybody. We are right now trying to raise money for the programming you will hear in the fiscal year that begins tomorrow. Today is the last day that we have to do it. We need to have all of the money in the bank before the fiscal year starts. That way we'll know what we have to spend on the closing market report, on the opening reports, on the ag email newsletter, the phone portal, everything that we provide to you. This morning, if you subscribe to our ag email newsletter, you had the first word on the quarterly grain stocks report and the planting acreage estimates, and you were ready at 8:50 when the analyst hit the airwaves. And I think it was Wayne Nelson this morning and started talking about these numbers. And you know, we've been talking about them and updating them on the website and the information throughout the day. And this is what we try to do. It's a way that we provide a service that goes beyond what you hear on the air. We back it up with supplementary material throughout the day. We give you not only the numbers, but we help put them into context for you. It's all to make you a successful operator. That's why we're here. Now, in return, because we are based at WILL Radio, which is a member-supported radio station, we come to you at certain times of the year and say, call 217-244-9455 and pledge your $50 or $100, or if you can afford $250, some people even contribute $1,000 a year because they say, this is an outstanding service that I cannot get anywhere else. And the way that we help to provide it, 37%, Todd, you mentioned it's 37% of the money that we have to operate this whole service on comes from voluntary contributions from the users of the service. 244-9455, willpledge.org is where you can pledge online. We're within $91,000. We're $16,000 ahead of where we were this morning when we came in. We have $91,000 now to go to reach our listener support target that was set because we knew how much we would have to have from listeners in the budget for the coming fiscal year. Now, we don't want to have to sit down and start X-ing things out. So the closer we get to that $91,000 before midnight tonight, the fewer things we'll have to consider X-ing out. You know how it goes. You have a finite amount of money to provide the service with. We want you to consider, helping us with a $100 contribution on your credit card right now at 244-9455 or willpledge.org. We'll be that much closer to reaching that goal. $91,000 is not inconceivable by the end of the day today, by midnight tonight, if we all work together, 244-9455 or willpledge.org, we can get the job done.
Thanks much, Jay. Let me boil it back down for you. Everything that this station uses, this station meaning Illinois Public Media, where you're getting the closing market report, has to be in the bank or at least accounted for in the bank by midnight June 30th. That's this evening. And if it's not, it's simply not used. So all the money is there for the budget. We know exactly what's there, and we don't spend any more than that. If you get the opportunity, like Bob and John, both from Champaign, Illinois, or Larry and Larry from Villa Grove and Cerro Gordo, and Doug from Jewett and other towns like Kansas and week when Stanford and Bourbonnais listeners all there did, and John Schull out of Washington, D.C. did. Go ahead and give us a call at 217-244-9455 or go to willag.org, willpledge.org, either one, and you can pledge online as well. And please, and thank you for supporting and contributing to the programming content here on the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what happened in Chicago and the carnage that was the corn pit is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Did you live through the day?
We lived through the day, Todd, but I'll tell you what, it got a little bit hectic this morning when the government surprised the dickens out of us with the great increase in acreage in the corn plantings. When we were looking for up to 1 million acres less than what they'd forecasted, and they come in with 2 million more than what they'd forecasted, this was not one of those ho-hum reports like we've been used to over the last three or four reports the government's been putting out. This one really stirred the pot and you know, made some of us wonder, you know, I guess we just haven't been out looking in the Nebraska, northern Iowa, and Missouri area to see some of these crops, because we know that southern Illinois, southern Indiana really had some problems getting corn in the ground, and their crops aren't looking that good. But the government says the acreage is there, and this puts us in a whole different situation. Instead of cutting the carryout for next year in corn, is to adding to it. So, yeah. You know, with the good weather we got coming here, unless we have some real weather problems, why, we're going to have a heck of a corn crop this year.
So the numbers panned out like this from USDA. They say, and I'll round, 87 million acres of corn. Trade was expecting about 84.2. And USDA had said 85. They say the quarterly grain stocks report, which is what's in the bin at this point, shows 4.266 billion. The traded expected to be 4.19, so the 4.26 is above that. And when you add it all up, it looks like a 1.6, maybe 1.7 carryout for the next year and for this year both. So those numbers. Did you happen to read, Wayne, all the way down at the bottom of the report about the 20-year guesstimates and how well they did at USDA?
I did not, Todd.
I did. So out of the 20 years, four times they were too high, and 16 times they were too low.
Which means the number has a very good chance of getting bigger rather than smaller.
Yeah, and I don't remember what that is for beans, but that was the number for corn. So what does it mean to you on what corn farmers should do? And we probably ought to talk about that 20 or 25% I suspect they have in old crop corn that's left. Let's start there.
Well, you know, as we've looked here along the way, we've pretty well said on Commodity Week and along through the way that we didn't see a real reason to be hanging on to old corn along the way. So we're going to feel that that's pretty well gone or out of here unless that you have some feed needs or was just hanging on for a weather scare. And the weather scare possibility, if that's what you're hanging on for, is still out there. We have a lot of corn that went in the ground late, later than usual, and there's all sorts of weather forecasts every time that this year, every year, about the possibility of a hot, dry ridge coming in and forming. And we've got another week or two of July to worry about this year than usual as far as the planting dates go. So if that was your idea of keeping it, why, the weather scares possibility is still there. But as far as everything else looks, why, I'd say that basically there's no reason to be hanging on to old crop corn other than the weather scare. Mm-hmm. As far as the new crop, you know, we're looking at the idea that we saw it limit down and lock there through the day. We did see the July come off the 30 cents there, but we didn't have a lot in the pools at the end of the day, and we saw the beans coming back and stabilizing quite well. So we don't look for a real strong night down here or, you know, a great continued follow-through for tomorrow. 350 seems to be our next real line in the sand. There's some great support coming up on the D's corn in the near term here, Todd.
And then I suppose that on the new crop, and because you sell crop insurance, you'll have a good handle on this, that most producers aren't going to do anything at this point, and there's no reason to get urgent or scared about crop that you don't have in the bin nor that you don't have sold at this point either.
Well, I mean, if you market, as we feel that most of the guys should have marketed their extra bushels over the guarantee and that way along the way, why, as long as they're okay that way, why, then we don't have to get terribly scared because we basically have a put under the market with what we've got here in our crop insurance and our revenue guarantees, Todd.
On the soybean side of the ledger, USDA says 77.48 million acres will be in the ground. The trade had expected that to be 78.3. And that compares to their 76 million acres. Now, while that was below the trade estimates, did you catch that it's the largest acreage ever put in the ground in the United States?
I caught that. most definitely caught that. And I think that that's just a, you know, a tremendously large bean crop coming on to help make up for this deficit or very, very, very short carryout that we're talking about having this year, Todd. And I think that you know, we also have to consider that some of these beans did not get in the ground timely, and we are seeing some dry conditions across the Mid-South and Southeast here that way. But all in all, an awful lot of acres of beans in the ground and a good chance for a good harvest coming on. We would have to feel that, you know, that the highs are probably in this bean crop for now.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Well, the quarterly grain stocks and the USDA acreage report weren't the only things that were released by the USDA in the last couple of days. Yesterday afternoon, the crop weather reports were out. And here's what they showed. Nationally, 4% of the corn crop was at or beyond the silking stage, according to USDA. That was 1 point behind last year, 4 points behind the five-year rolling average. The most crop development had occurred in the North Carolina and Texas areas, while silking had yet to begin in the Great Plains, the Corn Belt, and the Ohio Valley regions. Overall, 72% of the corn crop is now rated in good to excellent condition, 2 points better than a week ago, and 11 points improved over 2008. 96% of the 2009 soybean crop was planted by the week's end, 1 point ahead of the pace of a year ago, but 2 points lower than the average. Emergence advanced 7 points during the week to 91% complete, 2 points ahead of the previous year, but 4 points behind the five-year rolling average. Aided by mostly sunny skies and above-average temps, the most rapid crop development was evident in Tennessee, where 17% of the soybean crop emerged during the week. Blooming at 5% nationwide complete was on par with the previous year, but about 5 points behind normal. The crop was most advanced in the Delta, with Mississippi leading all states with 59% of the soybean acreage at or beyond the blooming stage. Now, 68% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 67% last week and 58% a year ago. And finally, on the winter wheat, wheat producers harvested about 20% of the nation's crop during the week. At 40% complete, the harvesting pace was 4 points ahead of last year, but 4 points behind the five-year rolling average. Producers in Kansas, Illinois, and Missouri took advantage of five or more days of suitable for field work and harvested 42, 40, and 35% of their crop during the week, respectively. As harvest neared the halfway point, 45% of the winter wheat crop was rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from a week ago. Usually at this time, the state statisticians would update us on what's been happening in their worlds. In fact, they sent those to me this morning, but I thought you'd rather hear from Darrell Good today, so we have a little report from him. You know, that USDA report released this morning put another nail into the flagging corn market. The report, of course, showed nearly 3 million more acres of corn had been planted this season than most in the trade had expected. I'll have more with Darrell in a moment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
There's only one word to describe the June acreage report. It is wow, says University of Illinois Professor Emeritus and Ag Economist Darrell Good. Wait a second, you heard that right. Dr. Good is now in working retirement, and his title is Professor Emeritus. Now back to the corn market. USDA, in its June 30 acreage report, estimates U.S. farmers have or will plant about 87 million acres of corn. That's 2 million more acres than reported in the March estimates, and Good says the trade thought that number was, well, too big.
We got a big number on corn. Folks were looking for slightly fewer acres than intended in the March report. The average guess was down about 800,000 acres. What we found was an increase of about 2 million acres over March intentions. So the net is a swing of about 2.8 million acres compared to expectations. So really caught the market leaning the wrong way. And this points to a much larger corn crop than we thought before and kind of takes the edge off of the expectation about tightening stocks during the 2009-2010 marketing year.
Takes the edge off the worry that ending stocks by the time the fall of 2010 rolls around will be approaching a meager 1.1 billion bushels. The corn crop in the ground, if realized to its USDA projected potential, should top out well above 12 billion bushels, and that would mean a 1.6 to 7 billion bushel 09-10 ending stocks figure, or about the same as this year, but with much lower cash prices. And therein lies the silver lining.
It's not a terribly big carryover. And what we would expect now, if corn prices are permanently lower here for the foreseeable future, that this should really slow, perhaps bring to a halt the liquidation in livestock numbers, which means that consumption can get back onto a little higher plane. This should also improve the margins for ethanol producers. With energy prices staying relatively high and now corn prices breaking. So they will have less difficulty, I think, meeting the mandates on corn ethanol production. So consumption will be improved, I think, with the lower prices.
So the price of corn will be low enough to stabilize the livestock and ethanol industries. That'll happen with the average cash prices somewhere below $4. It's nice, but won't make the corn farmer happy. Time and crop insurance should help take the sting out of the new supply and demand reality for the corn, now in the ground. But that's not the reality for the last year's corn crop that hasn't been sold yet, and it will likely have to be dumped.
This really suggests that there's not much opportunity probably for a rebound in old crop prices. You're going to have to bet on some adverse weather as we move through July and into August for that to happen. So it says maybe wait out this initial decline in price. If we get some stabilization, a modest recovery, then we've got to be moving old crop corn. New crop, you know, we go back to the kind of the target of the benchmark of the insurance price. The initial price reaction, of course, put new crop prices well below the insurance price. Which says now that maybe there's not much urgency in doing anything on a new crop. We'll wait for opportunities to be above the insurance price, or if that doesn't happen, then we look into the later after harvest for some potential recovery there.
The other thing that might just happen because of the report is an influx of producers willing to sign up for the federal government's new farm program called ACRE. They have until the 15th of August to get signed up. Fewer than 1,000 farms have been signed up for that ACRE program. Just prior to the USDA's June 30th acreage report, those wanting to learn more about ACRE and how it works can visit the University of Illinois Farm Doc website. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And remember to send your financial support.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Utility company Ameren is seeking public input as it proposes a high-voltage electric line connecting parts of Champaign-Urbana. The 138,000-volt line would link substations in Bonneville in the southwest corner of the University of Illinois campus. A project manager for the line, Donnie Murphy, says Ameren will try to balance cost concerns with areas where high-voltage overhead lines wouldn't fit in, like proposed residential developments or protected species habitats. Ameren is now holding a series of meetings with officials and the general public to plan suggested routes for the transmission line. A $12 billion plan has been unveiled that would provide ultra-fast train service between Chicago and St. Louis and include a stop in Champaign. The trains would travel twice as fast as those contained in a plan favored by eight Midwestern governors, including Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. The executive director of the Midwest High-Speed Rail Association, Rick Harnisch, says the 220-mile-an-hour lines are already being built in countries like Germany and France. He says it's encouraging that Illinois is already planning a 110-mile-an-hour train through federal stimulus dollars and a state capital plan. But Harnisch says his plan would change the way the state does business. The train would get commuters from Champaign to Chicago in 45 minutes. The Vermilion County Coroner has released the name of a Georgetown man who died in a head-on collision on Interstate 74 near Danville yesterday. Authorities say 79-year-old George Frost's pickup truck collided with a semi. An autopsy is scheduled for today. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn now says he might accept a temporary extension of the state's current budget while negotiations continue with lawmakers. The governor held a noon-hour meeting with the state's four legislative leaders today, but Quinn still insists the state's budget cannot be balanced without an income tax hike. Lawmakers meet this afternoon. And Indiana lawmakers were expected to vote on a new two-year spending plan before the current state budget was set to expire at midnight. The Democrat-led House and Republican-ruled Senate had taken steps necessary to make the budget bill eligible for votes in each chamber, but debate and votes on the legislation had not occurred as of mid-afternoon today. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media and the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, reminding you that this is listener-supported radio. And if you like the agricultural programming that you hear from Illinois Public Media, please dial this number now, 217-244-9455. Or if you're listening to our podcast, visit willag.org or willpledge.org and pledge your financial support. We're coming up in the last 12 hours or so here of our fundraising effort for what needs to be in the bank by midnight, June 30th. That's tonight for operation in the coming year. 37% of the budget comes from you, the listener. And hopefully you would like to contribute $100, $120, $250, $1,000, whatever you can afford. Thank you very much in advance. And we do appreciate you dialing in that number at 217-244-9455 or at willpledge.org. Here's what the weather forecast, and unfortunately Don Day is away today, but here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region as provided by our own Daniel Pounder. He says this afternoon in the north should be partly to mostly cloudy skies in central sections of Illinois and Indiana, partly to mostly sunny. In the south, mostly sunny to clear. Everywhere else, breezy with winds out of the northwest at 8 to 16 miles an hour, gust above 20. Highs today ranging from just 65 in the far north to 87 in the far southern part of Illinois. Then tonight, increasing cloudiness everywhere, cooling. Lows, says Mr. Pounder, from 53 in northern Illinois to 60 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. And light showers possible in the north. Tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy skies, elsewhere partly sunny. Highs will range from 65 in the northern parts of Indiana to 85 in the southern part of Illinois. The continued light showers possible in the north. In the extended forecast for the two-state region, light precip possible in northern sections for tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, cooler temps and lower humidity levels compared to last week especially, expected until the weekend. Next chance of precip, he says, this weekend and expected to impact the central and southern sections of the two-state region. That'll be coupled with a slight warming trend. Increases in precipitation chances throughout the region are expected through next week, though the northern sections have lower chances than the southern sections. We bring you agricultural weather 5 days a week right here on the Closing Market Report. And as a podcast, you can sign up to have that delivered to your computer automatically if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program, the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, our daily updates of the agricultural markets and the pre-opening and opening market reports, a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. That newsletter is a good one. You can subscribe to it over on the right-hand side of the page at willag.org. It's all just part of the service from Illinois Public Media and the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon. Stay safe, and if you're out in the fields, have a good afternoon there, too.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.